Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome Monday night, folks, to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We got a heck of a show lined up for you with the TPO Doc Talk. Let's go ahead and get this thing cranked up. What's happening, folks? It's me, Gene, your host. Welcome to the TPO Doc Talk Podcast. We are back live. Been a couple weeks here. We've had some pre-recorded stuff going down. We'll have a few more of those flying out there. I hope you guys have been enjoying that. A lot of interviews that we've been doing during the... I always tell people we have two seasons, man. We have tournament season, podcast season. That's pretty much what we fall through. And so we got a heck of a library of a lot of those interviews there. And it's our pleasure to highlight a lot of the veteran services out there, veteran-owned businesses, and just introduce you to some folks. Tonight, man, we've got a cool episode lined up here. We're going to talk about the Bassmaster Kayak National Championship that's unfolding here in Oklahoma that's taking place at the same time as the Bassmaster Classic, pretty much the Super Bowl of our sport. Both of those things are coinciding together. They're real close to one another. Kayak Classic on 10 Killer, the Bassmaster Classic being held on the on Grand Lake. We got a lot of stuff to cover, and I thought, what better than to bring in the three homies from Colorado that are going to be representing the Rocky Mountain region here, going to be representing Colorado for us. These guys had a hard-fought season last year, and then, of course, had the showdown at the Stingy Horsetooth to kind of settle it all, and these guys rose to the top. So let's go ahead and bring these guys in here. First and foremost, we have our Colorado State champ, current reigning champ, Mr. Matt Arledge. Matt, welcome to the show, brother. You're muted. There you are.
Hey.
How are you, man?
Good. Yourself?
Peachy. Good. Yeah. Let's go ahead and get in the guy that was right chomping on your heels there at that Horsetooth event, Mr. Flanagan himself, no stranger to the show. What's happening, boss?
What's happening, boys? How you doing?
You know, it's Monday night. We're talking fishing. We're getting dangerously close. You guys are heading out in a week or so. You know, I mean,
4 days, Friday, we're hitting the road. But Chen even earlier. Chen's heading out earlier. So,
yep. Speaking of Chen, let's go ahead and get this. You know, I was saying before, you guys are suckers, man. You're not dedicated because this man's in his kayak. Let's bring in the man himself, Mr. Chen Charlie. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing, Gene?
I'm not sitting in my kayak, but I'm pretty damn good.
This is I'm doing my pre-fishing already, so
right yeah. Map study,
he's got rigging to do. Yeah.
I don't blame you, man. That's you know, I've been thinking about doing, you know, content and stuff for the how-to stuff, you know, and just do it right out there in the garage next to all the yaks and everything. I mean, that's the best place to do it.
You see Chen's latest video is running that NK300
scooting around.
Damn, that thing moves.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
You know, that's...
He was putting wake behind him, man.
It's been on the list there. That it's just, you know, 36 amp. Now, that would be a third type of, you know, voltage that I'm running. I've got a 12 volt system, a 24. It's like, do I want to add in the 36? I mean, yeah, I do, but do I really?
No.
Right. Either way, though, you can't beat those Newport motors, man. Those things are sound, very strong, yeah, and last.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Good stuff. So, gentlemen, we're sitting here, we're talking about this. You know what? It's been, it hasn't been that long, but it's probably felt like it's taken forever to finally get here. You guys are, you know, we wanted to connect with you. This was the best time to do so. That way we're not messing with you during that week. That way you guys can just take in the event, man, have fun, go to 10 Killer, show out, have yourself a blast, and just, you know, create those memories that'll be with you forever, you know? And so this was the best time to get here, but let's just go around the table here. Matt, what's it been like, man, going through wintertime here, Mr. Arledge? What's it been like for you, man, getting up to this point?
Well, you know, usually I take it a little more casually in the winter in terms of fishing. I'm not quite as bonkers about going out to Pueblo and all those places in wintertime. I kind of wait for the local places to open up or the first kind of major tournament to get out there. And Bassmaster Classic is a little bit earlier than most of us really kind of get going in Colorado. So we've, Matt and Shen and I have kind of done a couple of like practice days, not on 10 Killer, but just kind of around the area to get new gear dialed up. And I think Matt and I ended up with a new kayak, so we had to test those out. We had to, we sort of did a fake tournament just to kind of get the juices flowing again.
So I knew Flanagan picked one up. What'd you get, Arledge? You got something new?
Yeah, Hobie PA-12. So picked it up from Shields, and Caleb helped me get that one all set up and pulled in from another store. All sorts of fun.
Good stuff. Got a couple people dropping in here. Mr. Trev says, what's up, fellas? Trev. And then, of course, my man Randy Newton, producer and all around just general awesome dude at the Paddle and Fin and everywhere else. He's been around, I think, since the word kayak was invented.
Nice.
He has, for sure. So thank you guys for stopping in. Well, that's exciting, man, that you're picking up a, you know, both you guys got a couple new boats. How do you feeling, Arledge? You feel like you got it dialed in? You feel good? Feel comfy in it? Like all muscle memory?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of Hobies before, and now I've got a two little Mirage Sports that I take pond hopping. We used to do the CKFC monthlies. Those are pretty easy to take wherever you want. You can throw them on your shoulder and walk
right
about a mile or whatever with them. The PA-12 isn't quite that, but at least you know, pedaling wise, it's a similar boat for me.
What was it that you fished last year up at Horsetooth? What, well, that was bigger, wasn't it?
No, it's same size basically. Cruise FD, same size as the PA-12 ish.
Okay.
A little bit skinnier platform. But when you get to some of those lakes like Truman and you have your rod sticking up in the air or Red Willow or someplace like that, there goes your rod.
Right.
Hanging out and catching lures. So got the horizontal rod storage this year. And so far, so good. Took me a couple tries to get placement location for a fish finder. Took it out with Matt, and first time out there, started throwing a jerk bait and went whack, whack on the their location. Oh, that needs to move.
You know, I'm always in that. It's, I like it on the side because it's, I can see it real easy with my old eyes, and I like being able to, you know, zoom in on stuff. So I put it just on the, you know, starboard side there. But then again, like if I want to paddle or if I want to scooch stuff around, I like it being dead in the center. It's just a little bit further away from me when I do that because I don't like stuff in the center, right? I mean, that's the one complaint I have about a bow mount is I just don't like stuff on the front of my boat. You know, I like that being free of stuff. So yeah, I do the same thing, man. I'm back and forth between those two spots. One trip it's this, next trip it's that.
Yep.
For sure. So Flanagan, how is, I mean, you and I got a chance to get out there and, yep. and, and jump around on a stingy, windy day.
Yep.
But you feeling better and better with your new native there that you picked up?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I have it set up real similar to my old native, although instead of having the transducer off the side on a switchblade arm, I did mount it under the bow. So that's a lot nicer. I am digging that.
Nice.
But other than that, you know, my crate setup is the same. I do have the battery inside and a little bit of in-hole wiring. So it's a little bit slicker than my old setup. But yeah, I'm liking it a lot for sure.
Any revelations over the winter here leading up to this point here? Anything stick out to you in your studying leading up?
Well, I'm going old school here. This is my forward-facing sonar, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. that's my version. That's as close as I'm going to get to that. But
it's easier to zoom that in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yep. Yeah, a lot of map study. I got too many areas I want to start.
Right.
As I'm sure, you know, pretty much everybody who's going is in the same boat. It's like, man, there's so much good looking stuff on that lake. And, you know, I've been getting out as much as I can, went to Pueblo a few times over the winter. And now since the thaw, the last few weeks, I've been going to some smaller ponds, and it's hard to consider it practice because we don't have anything like Ten Keller in Colorado, obviously, but I'm considering it practice, just getting the muscle memory back, getting the arms, wrists back in shape for casting all day. You know?
Bro, 100%. The fact of just loading and unloading your kayak, you know, rigging at the ramp, rigging at the parking lot. Bro, that is such a big deal. I mean, last year was, I did not get a chance to get out. And literally my first event, I was like I was at Gunnersville, Alabama. That was the first time my kayak had hit the water. So I drove 22 hours. And bro, those first 2-3 days, I was in such this number one road, you know, haze on me because I drove way too much of it without stopping. But that lack of interaction with the kayak and my gear, it killed me, man. I was just like, you know, sitting there taking way too much time to figure out where did I put the damn, you know, flipping stick? Where was I? You know, I was not in a groove. So no, you are doing really, really well to stay frosty like that.
Yeah. I'm going out as much as possible, at least once a weekend, sometimes both days on the weekend. And it's more about, like I said, getting my arms and my shoulders, you know, my wrists are still sore at the end of the day. So I'm trying to work that out.
Getting old sucks, doesn't it, bro?
Yeah, it does. It does.
And you're in a hell of a lot better shape. But speaking of in shape, I mean, we've all seen the shirtless pics. Chen, how has this winter been for you, brother? Have you, getting your flex on, obviously getting swole in your garage now that I see the tires off to the side. You're probably doing some curls with that or whatever. How about you, man? You've been staying frosty and getting ready for this?
Yeah, definitely. I've been trying to fish as much as Matt Flanagan has, but been busy getting the truck ready, I put the new motor on, as you guys might have seen. And then I went out to Pueblo, I think, 2 weekends ago to give that a test and try that out. And definitely a game changer. Still some stuff to get used to, how to adjust my trim. But just trying to make sure that everything's going to go well, especially for the drive there, making sure that I have a decent plan driving there. And then just been busy making sure that everything's in place, right? Make sure to have all the right tackle, line. I'm not missing anything. So I'm going to bring everything that I have, literally everything that I have, just in case. You never know. I've been on the water before where I'm like, man, I should have brought my swim baits. There's a bass right here, right against this ledge. Like, this would have been perfect, but I didn't bring it. Like, horse tooth, that actually happened. So, but I'm going to bring everything. I'm going to leave on a Thursday and hopefully get there and fish Friday and fish the 5 days that we have. I think pre-fish or four days that we have pre-fish. So
it's like what, 10 and a half, 11 hour run?
Yeah, about that.
1 hour ahead. So yeah, leave at 5, get there around 5, whatever. Taking it easy for sure. You know, there's something to be said, man. And this is a lot of guys I know that I talk with, take this for granted, but when you're not used to traveling 10, 11, 12 hours to an unknown body of water, you kind of start to take that for granted. You forget, because those of us who have been doing it for a few years, it's just commonplace. It's like, nope, I already know I'm going in there not knowing what the hell I'm going to see when I get there. You know, so it starts to get a little bit more commonplace. But yeah, man, there's a lot to think about as far as food prep and make sure the vehicle's ready. Oil change was good. Tires are all good. If you got a trailer, double that up. You know what I mean? You got to start thinking all those things in there. And there's a lot more that goes into it. I mean, and, you know, we always hear people talk about the money, 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 money. That's all they talk about. But you forget about the logistics behind this. So, but, you know, the best advice I could throw out there, just control what you can control when it comes to that trip piece. Don't sweat it. There are grocery stores. There are auto parts stores. There's a shitload of tackle stores down there. Right. Anything you really, if you really, really need it, it's available to you. If you somehow forget it, don't be afraid to, you know, go drop $8-$9 on a bag of baits that you left on your garage floor or something, you know, type thing. Because, yeah, you don't want to be out there going, oh, I should have brought that out with me.
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask a question for you then, if you're a little bit more of a traveler. And I know Arledge has made the trip east a bunch of times, but
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
If I leave Friday night, my plan is to leave Friday night, knock out 4 or 5 hours so that I can finish it Saturday and not do all 11 one shot.
Sure.
How safe is it to just park in a truck stop? Not a rest stop, an actual truck stop, and just knock out a couple hours of sleep there. Like, it's got to be safer than like a rest stop where there's nobody around working or anything, right? I mean,
go ahead, Matt.
Oh, I've done about every spot possible. You know, obviously if it looks sketchy, stay away from it. Yeah. But
I mean, just a random truck stop in the middle of Kansas, it can't be that bad, right?
I always end up, I've got a little like flexible chain that I run through my, I picked up at some sporting goods store, run through the center of the Hobie because they've got a hole right in the hole.
Yeah, I do that. I lock mine to the roof rack too.
Yeah, so, I mean, plus, like, someone climbing up on your roof if you're sleeping in your vehicle is, it's going to be hard to miss that.
I'm not going to have to deal with, like, any meth head truckers or anything like that, right?
I don't think so. I've stopped, like, right in Kansas. I think I showed you a few spots where I'd, I like to park at a hotel, but back my kayak because it's in my truck bed. And, like, back my I can't talk, but kayak into a, like row of trees or something, so it's not super visible. Just something that's out of the way.
You know, the only piece of advice, no matter what the signs say, truck stops do not have parking lot attendants. So if they're roaming the parking lot, just leave them be, because that's gonna be your meth head that you're gonna be talking to.
Trev's on it too. I'm gonna keep my eye out for that too.
I'll say this: I have done that. I've stopped at a truck stop that was the safest place that I felt, because it has everything to do with where you're at. I was just talking about this on one of the Lake of the Ozark breakdown. I have a new standard rule that I will not stay anywhere before or slightly after St. Louis ever again. I stayed there on the way to Pickwick at a rest area about 10, 15 miles out this side of St. Louis. And dude, I watched so many deals going down there. I had my feel good protection on my lap as I'm sitting there in my car, and I'm thinking, dude, if I feel this sketchy in this place, get the hell out of here. You know, it's like, so it has everything to do with where you're at. I think most places, Kansas, you're going to be fine. But yeah, just check the signs and make sure they allow you to move your van into an area, because if you don't want to piss off a bunch of truckers, or then they'll just block you in.
No, I was thinking in the parking spots in front of the convenience store and the truck stop. You know,
as long as they allow it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to stay there all night. I'm just going to knock out a few hours.
You know, another place that I've actually grabbed a couple hour cat naps is the on-ramps and off-ramps. There's only a couple states that don't allow it, but you'll see trucks, you know, parked along like an on-ramp or whatever. They're slid over. Mm-hmm. There's space over there, and there's nobody out there. So it's like, it's not like somebody can sneak up on your car or something. Yeah. I lock the windows, you know, lock the doors, and, you know, throw the seat back. And yeah, I've got a few hours just there if needs be. So,
yeah.
Well, good stuff, man. Good stuff. So let's talk about it, man. You know, we'll first go over the kayak series here, and then we'll jump into the classic and try to break down some of that stuff here. But kayak series, man. I want to start this, and I'm going to end this conversation the same way, but I first want to tell you guys this. The way the pathway is set up through Bassmaster and how you guys get to qualify to get there is the same across the country. The only exception is the kayak series, right? The National Trail. Those are where the big names come into play that, you know, start making people think, things like, maybe, you know, my goodness, these guys have all this experience. I want you three to hear it clearly from an old guy. You deserve and should be where you're going. There is no question. You are in the right company. I don't care what name you're seeing up there. Trust when I say you are right in the right company, and you're that at that level right now. I just, in my personal opinion, I fish against the, you know, those guys. I've been in boats with literally elite series pros as a marshal and watch them fish. You guys are as good as it gets, man, especially in the state. The three of you deserve to be where you're at. And this is exciting that the three of you are going to represent us out there, man.
Appreciate that, man. You see some of the names. It can be a little, you know, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy, I've seen that name. All right. Yeah, sure. But no, I get it. It's fishing. Anything can happen on any given Sunday, you know?
You know, it's history too. That's the thing. The only advantage that somebody's going to have is history on Grand, which Grand is a big enough lake that a lot of people have gone there for different events and such. So it kind of levels the playing field. There's a lot of information out there. Arledge, what have you seen from what I'm reading and what the inside, you know, the experts are saying? You guys are going to be getting there at about a time where just about any pattern should play. They're going to be coming shallow. They're going to be, you know, out in the brush piles. There's no grass in this lake, so it's very similar to what you guys are used to right here at home. You know, this is a structure built lake, you know, type deal. A little bit of brush, bunch of rock. I mean, right in your wheelhouse. What are you thinking there as far as, you know, as we get closer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, even though it's down south, I think it sets up. I try to put myself in the mindset of wherever we're at in Colorado, somewhere else is usually about a month ahead. I mean, that's a, you know, big thumb in the air kind of guesstimate at where they're at, and weather changes everything and all that fun. But they're inevitably going to spawn a lot earlier than they are in Colorado. You know, I sort of use Mother's Day as the rough gauge for when it kind of starts kicking in here in Colorado. And, you know, I don't really think they'll be spawning in. I haven't fished a whole lot in Oklahoma, but I don't think they'll be spawning quite there, but I think they'll be set up pretty heavy pre-spawn. Typical spots. I don't think there'll be, you know, deep winter patterns or anything like that.
Suspending, You know, I mean, that's kind of what I've been hearing, is that there could be some suspending, you know, bass on this. Grand Lake, that we'll be talking about in a little bit, is big known, you know, that jerkbaits play heavy there.
Yeah.
10 killer still, it's an Ozark lake, right? I mean, Chen, as you're coming into this thing, if you could find them someplace that would make you smile, where would it be? The, you know, where's the pattern that makes Chen happiest?
Oh man, I mean, probably on main lake points or even secondary points, and just see the dragon and jig or drop shot. That'd be mine. But I know that lower part of the lake is a little bit clearer. So I mean, how I'm gonna go into it is thinking like, okay, I'm fishing like Colorado, but I'm just fishing Oklahoma, right? I mean, it's gonna be really, like Matt, like Arledge said, usually it's little bit like a month ahead. So I'm just trying to think, okay, pre-spawn, if we're in like May or something at Pueblo, fishing similar terrain, rocky, what am I doing there, right? I'm just trying to transfer that over there, look at water temps, water clarity. But definitely going to get there and try to play it by ear. But that's kind of my plan going into. That's what I want to see, you know, secondary points or main lake points. And who knows? I mean, I don't know what the water temperature is there right now, but who knows? They might be in the back of coves already and bays and just already getting ready to do their thing. But we'll see when we get there.
It's what people are saying, you know. I mean, some of the stuff I've been reading by the, you know, the old wise ones in encyclopedias of bass fishing are saying that, you know, 10 killer and grand could be setting up so that, you know, if you want to catch them shallow, they're going to be shallow. You want to catch them out, they're out. But one of the things that made me think of you, Flanagan, was you know, my man, who I, by the way, I've got it on video. I picked him to win last year's Classic, and he did. He was in Mr. Christie. And anybody who's anybody knows Jason Christie, you know, I mean, he's obviously Oklahoma native. And when you start talking muddy water and spinner baits, I mean, good night. That's, I mean, you're in for a world of hurt. You find some of that slightly stained or muddy water, Flanagan, I mean, that it could set up for just your style of, you know, get in there and close quarter combat with them. And who knows what you're going to find in there?
I may have picked up a couple single blade Colorado bait spinner baits based on some Jason Christie videos I've watched recently. That's possible. Yeah, the buzz bait with the gold blade is going to get a couple throws. You know, don't know if it's going to work, but it'll get some throws for sure.
It'll be curious to see how much the water is warmed where it's at. You know, type thing.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of that. But I have been told. And even the great one, the GOAT himself, said that spawning's less about temperature than what people think, and it's more about, you know, other factors that are involved in there. So
moon phase and daylight hours,
So who knows? That's find the areas, you know, that look like it could be good. But I think that water clarity, I think, is gonna be one of the biggest things leading into this. Number one, angler comfort for the kayak side. And number two, that presentation that you choose with that, you know. Arledge, if it's clean or dirty, does that matter to you? Or are you going to be looking for a certain kind of water?
I mean, the lame answer is it doesn't matter what the clarity is. It matters whether they're biting or not. But, you know, I tend to err on the clearer side when you're used to a dirtier lake because it matches up a little better here. I'm not, like I said, I've not been on 10 killer. I have the same assumptions that Chen does, that, you know, the more towards the dam is going to be clearer. That's where I suspect I will generally end up. I love cranking this time of year. That's all sorts of fun to me. But you know, if I'm up shallow throwing a chatterbait, spinnerbait, like, that's flipping, like, it'll all be fun. You know, so who knows? Lots of brush there too.
Yeah, brush piles galore. All right, so let's talk about it real quick. Let's just go ahead and air this monkey out and get it out there. If you're not scoping, you're hoping, seems to be the mentality out there these days. Now, I'm going to go on record flat out saying harsh shit. Okay, I don't believe that whatsoever, especially not the levels that we play at.
It's you look at all the major kayak events that have the few that have happened already. You know, the kid that won down at Harris Chang, yep. He's 30s or 40s, whatever. But, you know, I think the major...
That's a kid to us, Matt.
Yeah. The 3 or 4 major kayak events that have happened already, I don't... Maybe one was one with a scope, if that.
Yeah.
It hasn't been playing much in the kayak series yet.
Not to go down a rabbit hole too far, but here's what I'm going to say, just the short version of this. I'm going to do an episode later where we get into this in the season, but my personal opinion to this, we as a consumer base, even especially the competitive consumer base, are overthinking this, and we're comparing our world too closely to the elites. Okay. I have fished and watched fish several up and coming guys, middle of the range, and old school guys. And I can tell you the difference between fishing with you guys and fishing with them is literally small factors of efficiency and general overall knowledge. It is not that they have, you know, this magic wand that they throw. When they're pitching and flipping a bank, the difference is in a 3-foot set, they'll put 4 flips in there where the rest of us are putting in 2. They're just a little bit more efficient. They're a little bit faster. They've honed their skills and their accuracy, right? So they're bing, 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 bing. That's literally the difference. And of course, the application of the knowledge that they have over the years. So it's not as if, but when you're at that level, the Jacob Wheeler level, the Fujita level, when you're going against those guys, yeah, I could see where those things start to take place, but we're not. Okay. No disrespect to anybody in the kayak world or anybody elsewhere, but it's like trying to compare a Toyota Series Pro and trying against an Elite Series Pro. There's a different class there, man. There's just a different level of competition that you're going against. Not to say these guys won't be great when they get there, but there is a, you know, there's a transition that's got to go. So I don't think it's as big of a deal against the fields we're going. I still think you can fish traditional using side scan, using some of this other stuff, and be just as competitive personally. That's just my thought.
Especially this time of year, too.
Yeah.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
So Trev wants to know, there's tank smallmouth in that water, and wants to know if any of you guys are going to be chasing that down.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's going to be my main target, to be honest, is smallies. I met up with Eric Ali today to go pick. I want to go pick up some hooks from Eagle Claw. And he had one word of advice for me, just, hey, man, just fish you, right? Like, too many anglers try to adjust to every single body of water they go to. Yeah. Instead of fishing their strengths that they're really good at. Like, I'll tell you right now, I'm not good at fishing dirty water, man. I'm just going to throw black and blue or something bright and just hope that the vibration brings them in and stuff like that. And that's why I struggled so much in Nebraska. But more of my strengths, and I think it's Colorado is an attribute to that, is clear water and smallmouth. I mean, a lot of smallmouth here, man. It's a lot of smallmouth here.
No, he's exactly right, is that, you know, find areas of that lake that match your style. Right. Cause they're probably there.
Yeah.
You know, and if they're not, and you got to get versatile cause you got a good tip or your gut's telling you that the bigs are hiding someplace else, get versatile, man, get after it. So
my plan, at the moment, which could obviously change if Chen starts smashing big smallmouth down south, but my plan is to start further up north. I'm the one that prefers dirty water. I'm hoping to fish for largemouth. That could kill me. I don't know. You know, I just saw Alex Rojas, and he made a good point. He's like, you know, probably 70% of the field is going to be fishing for largemouth. You could stand out by fishing for smallmouth. You know, you never know. So
the problem, though, with smallies, Arledge, back me up on this if you found this out here, is that I can tell you, especially coming out of Minnesota where I cut my teeth on smallmouth there, they're such a nomadic bastard that you just can't count on them. The stuff that you find in practice, dude, they just pick up and move. I mean, like with the efficiency of a Sioux tribe, you know what I mean? They're just like, there's no sign of them. They were never there. They're gone. I mean, have you found, you know, the Highland Reservoir smallies to do the same, Arledge?
You know, it's a little weird because, like, we get horse tooth that's, you know, I think there's two largemouth in there somewhere, right. In total. So you get more of the pack action on smallmouth there, or, you know, I've fished Lake St. Clair once. You know, I don't have a lot of experience, but that's like a pack type of lake. And I'm not saying they won't travel in packs on a 10 killer, but they're not as prevalent. I tend to find smallmouth on those lakes mixed in with a largemouth anyways.
Yeah.
To some extent, they're set up a little bit differently to me. And I think you may come across more of them, but I think it's a byproduct of wherever you're fishing that you'll get a mix. You know, now if you go way up north in 2 feet of water, like, you're probably not going to catch any smallmouth ever.
Right. You
know?
Right.
So there's a balancing point, but I don't know that they'll leave your spot so much as set up on a type, you know, like a point or secondary point or something. Yeah. Like,
well, I can tell you, man, lacrosse smallmouth, if you're banking on them, you should, you know, call the 1-800 gambler hotline, because you are going to be drawing a hot bath with a bottle of vodka at the end of the day if you're counting on those smallies on the river, because they are just, you just can't count. If you land on them on tournament day, count your blessings and burn them to the ground. Catch as many of them as you can in a given area, and, you know, thank the fish gods for blessing you, because it's such a tough deal up there. Todd Martin's out here, says good evening, and he's saying that they treat him well, the smallies do. Or maybe he was commenting on my gambler hotline, one of the two. You never know with Todd. you can never tell with that. So, yeah, man, that's you know, it's, you never know, you know, on the fish patterns there, the dirty water, the clean water. You know, find the areas, like you said, you know, by starting. The other piece here, and I don't know, I'll start with you on this, Chen, how much you do this. One of the days of practice for me will be a lot of truck seat time, because I'm literally driving around to ramps to kind of get a feel, see what the ramp even says to me, you know, when I look at it and look at the water surrounding it as I'm trying to find areas that are better for me in the kayak. Because it's like, if you're playing main lake points, it's not like you can motor up, even with that fancy new NK300 in there. You can't motor up and drop 20 miles of first, you know, main lake points. So you better find an area that, you know, you're less motor time and more rod time in there, right? I mean, how much time do you spend behind the wheel of the truck on new bodies like this?
That's funny, because I actually was thinking about that same exact thing, that I was, you know, the first day I get there, I'm going to probably waste maybe half my day looking at different ramps just to get the water clarity, go there, you see what water temps are, and get a feel for what different areas are actually like. The water levels is another thing, because, I mean, I don't know what it looks like right now, right? Yeah, I have maps. I got the Garmin Vision Plus. I have an Omnia app I use, and they all look really full and stuff. I think some of the satellite imaging I saw, it was during like a flood or something. Some of those boat houses are flooded, but I don't even know what it looks like now. But I'm going to spend a lot of time going to different ramps and do that first. But generally in Colorado, because this is, you know, majority of what I fish, we only have maybe like two places to launch from.
Right, so right.
Vision for Viga here, but when you go to somewhere where they've got 50, 20, 30 different ramps, like, it, oh man, it changes everything.
Sensory overload, right, Flanagan? I mean, it can jump on you sometimes and just really get you buzzing. So it's important to get those blinders on and focus, you know, on what you feel the most. Start with that at least, and then just adjust with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of my dilemma is, obviously it makes sense to do your driving and ramp scouting your first day there, because then you can go practice at the ramps you want. My dilemma is being the old guy, like I mentioned in the beginning, and getting sore wrists. I don't want to practice for 3 days straight and then have to compete for 2 days.
Right.
I kind of want to rest on Tuesday. So, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
if I go driving around on Tuesday and all of a sudden I find a ramp that looks really good, but I haven't practiced there yet, like, it's like, I'm kind of struggling with that right now, honestly, to figure that out. Because I do think I'm going to need a day of rest before hitting it.
Just, yeah, you know, I mean, 100%, I personally do the driving right when I get there.
Yeah.
I have an area of the lake that I want to look at, you know, or a couple areas. I have my A's and my B's and then my C's and D's I go check out. But yeah, if the other thing that'll do it to me is, like, if I head out for practice and I'm not getting any feedback, the lake's not talking to me, the fish are, you know, giving me the middle fin and saying, nope, not going to talk to you, not going to tell you anything. A lot of times, to, as opposed to just staying out there driving the struggle bus, I'll trailer it, bring her back, and then I'll go driving. You know what? Change my fortune here and just go look around and then go get something to eat and let that kind of soak, right? Let that soak on your head for a little bit. What did I just see today? Was it me? Was it them? Was it just bad timing? And how much of today is going to be in play on tournament day? And speaking of that, have any of you guys taken a look? I have not looked at the weather leading up. What's it look like it's going to be? At least, I mean, I know we can't count on it. It's freaking Oklahoma. It's Midwest. But Arledge, what do you think? Does it look like it's going to do anything? Or
last I checked, and it wasn't all the way through tournament day, but it was like 60s, 70s, 50s. I mean, it appeared to be good weather.
Nice. No major storms or rain or anything that's buzzing around there that could muddy up things?
I'm sure now that you said that.
Yeah. I actually haven't checked for a couple of days, but I checked a couple of days ago, and I think the Friday that we're planning on getting in is supposed to have some rain.
Yeah, Thursday. Shows Thursday or
Friday rain. Okay, yeah.
But so much will change.
Yeah.
Well, that gives plenty of days too for it to clean out too.
Yeah,
I mean they should be flowing there. Matt Collins joining us. What's up, brother Matt? How you
Hammer.
Doing?
Hammer, MC Hammer. What's happening?
That's right,
Matt. We got Matt Cubed in here now.
Yeah,
that's right. Hey, you guys get to get original. I need some middle names here in there so that we can throw around.
Oh man,
Chen, you're an easy one, man. Only Chinchar I've ever met.
I'm gonna make my middle name Matt. I swear. That's what it takes to start winning some of these tournaments. That's what I'm gonna do, man.
Right? Right?
I think last year we had like a bunch of Matts in the top 10 every single tournament.
Well, we're gonna have to deal with Collins over in CKB this season too.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, Mr. Rookie of the Year followed by Angler of the Year over there.
Yeah, he's coming in. He saw some of these plaques that we have, and he's wanting to, you know, get them, right? So
he wants to go to Texas next year for the for Fort Worth for next year's Classic.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, chasing the Bassmaster Classic, man. I mean, I you know me. I mean, I love the All-American. I love what it stands for. I love what everything does about the All-American and the people behind it. But I mean, I'm also a fan of our sport, man. And fishing in the national championship for Bassmaster is pretty much the big dance in our sport right now. Now next season coming up, that Hobie Boss National is going to be, you know, giving the national championship for Bassmaster a run for its money. Cause now with motors in, now you're going to get an open field with a lot of anglers in there of varying backgrounds and skill sets. So yeah, it's going to be super cool to watch, but yeah, it's a ton of fun for you guys. Let's switch gears here a little bit. Let's talk about the Classic over on Grand. I'm going to let this out of the bag here. Our little podcast, TPO Doc Talk Podcast, has been granted by the powers that be at Bassmaster. They have granted us media credentialed access to this Classic and the Kayak Series. So I'm proud to say that we are going to be there. I'll be getting in late on Wednesday night. of your day one competition so I can get my credentials. And then Thursday, we got some stuff lined up there that's going to be going on. So we'll be there Thursday. And I'm actually going to leave Sunday morning before the big dance weigh-in. I'm not going to be there for that just because I have some other obligations and we got to get back in time. But Friday, the top 10, where I hope to see the three of you in the top 10 up there. Yeah, we've got we're basically with media access, man. We're going to have some interviews with some anglers, big names like Matt Arledge, Matt Flanagan. You know, they should all be here. Chen Char, actually. Chen Matt Char, I think is his name. But we're going to be getting in there. And yeah, man, we're pretty stoked. So this classic for 2024 is going to be one to remember.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah, man. Cannot
wait. Look forward to this one for sure.
Yeah. Be checking out the expo on Friday. Oh, yeah.
Got mine. I got mine too. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Look at that. Yeah, that's snazzy.
The other day too.
Yeah, your nation credentials, so not quite as cool as media credentials, but
yeah.
I don't get mine in the mail. I got to go pick mine up there, right? I think some dude named Louie outside the hotel or something like that.
I think there's a Louie Stout that works for Bassmaster, so maybe it is Louie.
Nice. So the leading in here, man, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of buzz about Grand, and what they've been talking about is very similar to what guys have been talking about 10 Killer. It should set up any way right now. Your style of fishing, how you want to fish it, go fish it. Another, you know, legendary Ozark Lake, their Western Ozark, Highland Res. What do you guys think of this classic leading in? It's got a kind of a scattered field. Just to give some context here, the Bassmaster Classic has been to Grand Lake three times in its history. The first time they were ever there was 2013. They went to Grand Lake. Cliff Pace won that. 2016, they came back. Jason Christie looked like he had that thing in the bag. And then old
Edwin.
E squared Edwin Evers pulled through there. Now, those guys are two Oklahoma boys, right? They were duking it out. And he pulled that off there in 2016. And now we're back here. What do you guys think, man, with this field? Because I'll tell you, out of the top 10 from the last time we were here, the top 10, there's only two guys that are still left in Bass that are actually, you know, that are going to be in this one. All of the others are in MLF, those guys, or they're no longer fishing. But like seven of them are in the MLF right now. So what do you think this sets up for?
I mean, the obvious choice is Jason Christie. I mean, he came so close. It's his home lake. You got to figure he's hungry for it. But, I mean, don't count out JoJo Lee coming back and, you know, going for number three. I could see him pulling it out, too. And then there's the whole youth movement. There's so many good young guys on the roster now. It's hard to say. But I'm just going to take the boring safe pick and say Jason Christie. He's going to be hungry for us since he came so close last time.
You know, one of the things they talk about with Grand more than any other lake is it is a jerk bait lake, right? I mean, it is known for being jerk bait season. So if you're talking jerk baits, I mean, one of the big names that's been...
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history, designed by John Browning. The 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
recently here, just catching a lot of fire, a lot of good momentum. Patrick Walters, I mean, he's been really busy. But there's another guy in this that's won this trophy a couple times, and that's Hank Cherry. I mean, hello, Berkeley Stunna. You know, I mean, this guy knows jerk baits, y'all. I mean, so Chen, what do you think? Are those two guys legitimate runs?
Sorry, real quick. I just have to say I realized I'm a dumbass. Jordan Lee, of course, didn't qualify to fish it this year. He was in MLF last year. I don't know why I said him, but anyway, carry on. Sorry.
Two-time winner. I don't blame you. I mean, back-to-back winner.
Yeah, I was thinking he was back, but I was like, wait, couldn't have qualified.
So, also, anyway, sorry, we want to get Jordan on the podcast, too, so I think you were channeling, you know, us here. Right.
Man, I don't, to be honest with you, I try to keep up with who's qualified and who's not, and there's just so many names that it's so hard to keep track of when you're so busy doing all this stuff. But I know Jason Christie is an Oklahoma guy, and he's just so good, dude. And so, I mean, I got to say with Matt Flanagan, too, I think Jason Christie's got it. It's just so different when you have somebody like that lives on that body water or knows that body water so well, like the back of their hand. And I think about the bodies of water that I fish, right? I don't really tell people. And I'm like, if we were to ever run a tournament here, I guarantee you I'd probably do pretty well, right? Versus people that haven't fished that body of water, no matter how much experience they have. On anybody, you know that lake or know that place. You got spots, you got history. I mean, you have basically plan B, plan C, plan D. But Brandon Paul.
Yeah, Paul. I'd love to see him win it.
I want to see him
absolutely.
Win.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If I had to put my money on it, I'm probably gonna go with Jason Christie. Yeah. But I want to see Polinick win, man. Yeah. Electric. I take a lot from Brandon Polinick. I just love the way that he looks at fish and the way he fishes, the way he breaks down lakes, the what he did, what he saw. But definitely Jason Christie would be a number one of mine.
You know, the argument on BP, too, don't forget, is that in 2013 he came in second place here at Grand Lake. And, I mean, the dude is like the bass fishing equivalent to the Iceman. He is just ice in the veins, calm under pressure, good dude, and he just takes care of business, man. BP is one of those guys that – when you think the word professional, that's the face you see, right? I mean, he's the guy for that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Polinick, I think, I don't think that's a bad bet at all to throw in for a deal like this.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw, I think it was the last tournament of last year when he had a dead fish. And I kind of went by like 4 ounces or something.
Yep.
Like, that was heartbreaking, man. Like, I was pumped for it, that video. I was like, man. That is like probably one of the worst feelings that I could ever imagine. It's like it's meant to happen, you know. It's like how often are you going to have a chance to win it, and you have a dead fish, and you lose by 4 ounces or something like that?
Yeah, for what was it, like a 6 ounce penalty or something like that, and he lost by 4 ounces.
Yeah, definitely gonna be rooting for BP and Christie. Yeah. A lot of those guys. There's just so many good guys up there.
There's another guy on that local tip like Christie, and he's got a lot of steam coming into this, is that Luke Palmer. Luke Palmer has been on a tear, you know, recently with just, you know, solid, consistent placements. And he's got hours on that lake, man. He knows that place inside and out. So that's another name we might be hearing. Of course, and it's funny to list these guys as dark horses, but you would think this. I mean, the last time, I think 2016, I think he came in 10th place. Greg Hackney, right? Hack Attack, he's going to be there. That, to me, if one win could really warm my heart, it would be Hackney getting this, man. He's given our sport so much, and he's one of the old guard, man, and he's the guy that's going to fish shallow. He's gonna throw a middle fin up to, you know, other techniques, and he's gonna fish hard, you know, and you won't outwork him. I guarantee that. You know, you can't outwork that dude. But the other dark horse in this, and I don't know what if dark horse is the right, but of course Milliken. I mean, the dude's on fire, right? And the thing about Milliken that this could set up for, and Arledge, see what do you give me your opinion on this? He doesn't fish for a limit. Okay, he's going for the monsters. That's how he fishes. He's done it. He made a career out of it on YouTube, and now he's doing it in the elites. He doesn't go for a comfortable limit. He's throwing big swim baits, and this time of year, man, if he finds them right, I mean, good night. He could really shock the field here. What do you think, Matt? Is that a possibility?
Yes. I'm giving some real...
Is it a probability?
Um, I mean, I'm horrible for this, but I can't watch Ben Milliken fish to save my life. Like, it just pains me to watch him. He's just not a personality I can follow.
Right, right.
So I'm okay if he comes in last. Like, terrible, but
is that just because you're from Missouri and he's from Nebraska? Or is there more? Is it like a regional thing? No,
it's okay. Like anything else. It's like, you know, you've got Mike Iaconelli, who's kind of loudmouth and just generally is a very polarizing person. You've got someone like KBD that sort of everybody loves. And then there's someone like Skeet Reese, who's similar to Iaconelli in that he's kind of boisterous, but I actually like Skeet Reese. So there's not like there's no valid reason behind disliking Milliken, except, you know, just you attach to certain people. It's like picking the Niners or the Cowboys growing up. Like, if you're a Niners fan, you cannot be a Cowboys fan. You know, so
Colin's throwing some shade here. That must be Randy Blockett's number one.
No, I would like go on a month long road trip with Ben Milliken before I put up with Randy.
So, you know, it's one of the cool things about the sport, though, about YouTube and social media, is that the personality side. Yeah. And it's totally cool that we need to be okay with going, that dude's personality just doesn't do it for me. Because I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of the YouTube content myself. I know that the person is probably different than what we're seeing. And so, you know, I'm excited. I hope that we put in for a request to interview him, and I'm hoping I get a chance to, because it'll be cool to actually get a chance to meet him, you know, firsthand and just see. Because we're all, you know, my first Red Crest I went to was the very first Red Crest that ever happened. And it was a chance that I got to meet a lot of my boyhood heroes and young man heroes. And I fanboyed out hardcore. And I can tell you in the last 2-3 years, and after having a chance to get to know a lot of these guys, it changes. I don't fanboy anymore. They put their hooks and bait on the hook the same as you and I do. Ain't nothing different from them. But yeah, the YouTube stuff, man. Yeah, I get it, brother. I mean, I don't know if I could hang out more than about 5 or 10 minutes with Iaconelli. He's kind of all over the place. You know.
Come on. I grew up in just outside of Philadelphia. That's
there you go.
That's my dude right there.
Right, there you go.
Totally different person.
I'm sure he's a good dude, too. I'm not saying anything about who they are. It's just, yeah, I don't want to be with that, what I see on the screen.
He's actually not my favorite, but I don't mind him. And he's got the same accent as all the people I grew up with. So
nice.
Yeah, if I had to pick someone for the tournament and not go with Jason Christie, because I think – you know, you can bank on that guy pretty much being a top five. You know, you can't ever pick the person to win super easy. That's just so many things have to go right. You know, I'd probably throw a dark horse out there and go with BP's, I think it's his brother-in-law, Carl Jochimson.
Yeah. Right, right.
He grew up in, when he came here from Australia, it's read something, he lived in Tulsa for a while. So that's probably someone I would pick. You know, if not him, then sort of side with the Japanese anglers. My mom's side of the family is Japanese. So I pick one of those guys, you know.
Fujita, yeah, how do you pronounce his first name?
It's Koyoya.
Now,
Koyoya.
I'm only quarter Japanese and don't speak it, so I'm not going to say their names. I would butcher it and do dishonor to my family, but one of the three guys that are there.
Well, and wouldn't you think, this is the kind of wrap this up, this is one of the cool things. So here we've been saying all these names of these legends, these heavyweight champions of our sport, but dude, because of technology, because of resources available through the interwebs, and all of the internets combined when you have them on your phones, because of these things, bro, I mean, names like Fujita, names, you know, out there, others that were, you know, that we're talking about.
A kid that just won Fork. He smashed him. That kid's a hammer.
Kimura. Trey, I mean, Kimura is another one.
Trey McKinney, that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
You know, Cole Sands. I mean, Kyle Patrick, these guys, and then who's this other guy? Trev just mentioned rookie Tyler Williams to spend all of December at Grand. You know, I mean, these guys, it's not as far-fetched anymore that one of them could slide right up through and take that, you know, that coveted trophy. You know, I mean, it's, I think the inner old guy in me says, you know, I mean, I want to see guys like Hackney or somebody complete the mission, right? It's like, yeah. Dan Marino never winning a Super Bowl still doesn't sit well with me, right?
What you want to see, it would have been nicer to see Ray Bourque win the cup with the Bruins, but it was still cool to see him win it with the Avalanche.
Right, right. Yeah. Personally, I think he looks better in burgundy, but whatever.
For sure.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I said this at the start, and I want to say it again. You deserve to be where you're at. You've earned your spot amongst these great names that you like to look at there in the Kayak Series. And please get that in your head and know it through. Sleep on it. You guys deserve to be there. You should be there. And you have as much chance as any one of these other, you know, guys or gals out there to go in there and, you know, when – control what you can control, have a blast, take in this moment and just, you know, appreciate the heck out of it and go freaking mop them up, man. I'm looking forward to watching you guys just go be yourselves, have fun, you know, just leave nothing less, you know, for chance type thing out there. You know, it's one of the arguments that I use against when guys talk about, again, the hot topic forward facing sonar. You know, one of the things we tell people is you're not really fishing against the other guys and gals. You're fishing against yourself, right? That's the thing that we're fishing against every time we go out. Well, my other self isn't using forward facing, so I'm doing just fine. Yeah. So I just sold my unit to a guy. You guys are not happy that I sold it to.
Oh, I heard about that.
I've been told.
Yeah. And that's good though, because I spent two seasons with it and I may get back to it. I got, you know, I'm switching brands. I'm moving over to something different. So I may come back to playing with that, but it's, I got to fish where I feel happy, you know, yeah. And I'd rather lose happy than, you know, go out there and drive the struggle bus around and use tournaments as practice. You know, that doesn't work for me.
How do you lose happy exactly?
fishing the way that I want to fish. I'm going to go down swinging.
Yeah, I'm just
kidding. It's like hockey. I'm a special kind of stupid with hockey that I had the most enjoyment playing in net as a goalie. And I would rather go out and get 13 goals put on me as a goalie than go out and win as a forward. I just did not enjoy the game as much out as a forward. I had to be in net. That's where I felt, you know, comfortable. And that's where things, you know, were best. And that's the same way with fishing here is I have a certain style of fishing that I like to do. And I'll use my side. I'll use my down and my clear view. But sitting there and eyeballing forward facing, you know, just isn't my game. Not right now. It's not my thing.
I can barely even use my down inside. I'm just visual targets all day. That's my deal.
With how good Matt Flanagan fishes, I don't think he needs it, to be honest.
Yeah. I was gonna say
this guy showed up to. We went to the same pond, and I was fishing there for like 4 hours. This guy showed up, caught a fish, and I was like, "What the heck?" 4 hours, and we got a freaking bite.
Yeah, I think I caught one within like 5 minutes of showing up to the pond. Yeah,
he doesn't need. Awesome. I think we're good there.
That's awesome. Well, did we forget anything, guys, or anybody you guys want to, any sponsors, anything like that you guys want to give a shout out to before we wrap this whole thing up?
Well,
we do have a question from the crowd. Collins wants to know, is everyone sleeping in the Flanavan?
Pile in, boys. Pile in. Yep. We're saving money. Yeah, we're saving money on an Airbnb.
Yeah, no amenities, $20 a night. So we were like, you know what? Cheaper than an Airbnb.
Hell yeah.
Right?
We're just parking the Flanavan in a Walmart parking lot. We're good.
Yep. Problem is the Flanavan, the host is always over your shoulder watching you sleep, man. It's a little weird.
Going through your tackle box. And I meant actual tackle box. That wasn't a
right. That's wow. Awesome stuff. Wanted to also mention there are the 2023 was it no 2022 champ Miss Leslie Ali. She stopped in and said hello to everybody. Yep. Want to thank everybody who stopped by and drop in and chatting with us here. This is cool, man. We're seeing a good steady flow of folks through here, gentlemen.
Well, we should thank Eric real quick. He invited us down to the Eagle Claw store for stop by and.
Pick up some goodies, that was awesome of them.
They actually, and
that is so cool, man! Awesome cool. stuff.
He let me film and everything. It was super cool. Everyone got to meet the product developer and some other guys there too, and super awesome guys. And the cool thing is, they're all fishermen too, man. They're all just people going to work. They're fishermen that are going to work, doing what they love, and you know, producing some of the, in my opinion, some of the greatest hooks. So. Super cool for Eric to do that for us. I mean, just hit us like, hey, just come grab some hooks and grab some stuff, man. Super awesome to do that. Great knowledge too, man. That guy's got some great knowledge. He's been fishing for a long time. And anytime I talk to that guy, man, I just turn into a sponge, literally.
Mm-hmm.
He is a hell of a mentor for sure. He's an absolute, needed commodity as an ambassador of our sport. Eagle Claw is very fortunate to have him on board. He believes in that company, believes in the product. I know it's been one of the greatest moments of our little tiny run at this is to be brought onto that team, you know, to work with them. It's a tremendous honor, and I truly trust it. The equation now for me, I have a variable that I do not need to consider any longer. That's the terminal tackle side. You know, when I'm having issues with things, I know that this area is covered. It's got to be something else, like my stupid self usually. Leave it to me. Well, listen, guys, I can't thank you enough for stopping by our show, man. And you've got all the TPO Nation behind you. We're going to be cheering you on. You know, the people of Colorado, I know just about if anybody fishes tournaments out there, that they know you guys are going there, they're going to be following along and wishing you. Trev's going to be there. He said Thursday. I'll be getting in Wednesday. And we definitely, if you guys are at least going to be in there through, through Saturday range there, we definitely need to connect up. I'll be right about 15 minutes from the award centers where I'm going to be staying. And so we should connect up, at least go grab some dinner or lunch or something afterwards. And then, go check out, of course, the awards on Friday. That'll be pretty cool to see because I know the top 10 kayak anglers will come out right before day one weigh-in for the classic begins. So that should be pretty cool.
I think this was last year. It was about 3:15-ish or something. I think they open the doors at 3:30. So I think they do the kayaks between like 3:15-ish, something like that.
Yeah.
I think if it's the same as last year.
Nice.
For sure. That way you get a chance to kind of walk across the stage for sure. Well, awesome stuff. You guys hang around with me here after we roll this bad boy out of here. Folks, make sure to smash that subscribe button. Paddle and Fin Podcast Network, TPO Doc Talk Podcast. You can find us at YouTube under the Doc Talk, TPO Doc Talk, or at True Patriot Outfitters. It doesn't cost you a penny to like, follow, or subscribe. That is a huge, huge help for us. Please do so. Tell your friends to do so. You're supporting a great cause, keeping us on the mission. We got some cool stuff coming, man. The next few weeks are going to be pretty hot and heavy. All-American Kayak Series kicks off the beginning of April. Lake of the Ozarks, that's going to be a blast. We're going to be there on scene. Eco Fishing Shop bringing us that one. Should be a lot of fun. As always, folks, tie lines and be safe.
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.
Every once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.